Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
From the New York Times, this is The New Washington. I'm Michael Barbaro. Today, Senator Richard Burr.
Whoever that nominee is will be the most tested candidate that's ever run for president.
Oh, I've supported Donald Trump. I'll campaign with Donald Trump in North Carolina.
The public deserves to hear the truth about possible Russian involvement in our elections.
We will establish the facts and lay them out for the American people to make their own judgment. Mr. Rosenstein, would you like to thoroughly answer
the question? Thank you, Chairman. Sir, I'm not joking.
Do you sense that the president was trying to obstruct justice?
I took it as a very disturbing thing.
The Intelligence Committee has lived up to its obligation to move forward with purpose and above politics.
Yeah, it's pretty much a wreck. I was looking at it the other day.
It's held together with a few bumper stickers. And I think when I transitioned from the House to the Senate, Senator said, well, at least he's smart enough not to bring the car. The car's here.
Carl Hulse, who did you talk to this week?
Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and driver of one of the infamous vehicles in Washington.
What vehicle is that?
What's that, a 74?
74 VW thing. It's an old German Kuba wagon. I've had it about 30 years, and it's still the same primer gray it was when I got it.
Is it like a bug or a van?
No, it's an old, it's a rattle trap. It's sort of like a semi-Jeep. Everyone in town recognizes that car.
But it's my relief valve. I can drive across the Capitol grounds, and I can actually pretend that I'm not really here. So on a bad day, I can just go for a little cruise and believe I'm somewhere else in the world.
And you are actually related to Aaron Burr, right?
His fourth great-grandfather is my 12th great-grandfather, is the easiest way to put it.
Have you seen Hamilton?
I have not seen Hamilton. I'm concerned that the ending may not be the right one.
I guess we should explain that Aaron Burr, former vice president, played a pretty decisive role, well, the decisive role in the death of Alexander Hamilton.
I would say that was a pretty decisive role, shooting him.
In the duel.
Was there a line of politicians in your family?
There was not.
So you're like the, are you the?
We probably have the largest separation of of politics in my family of any family in America.
We were in his office in the Russell Office Building, which is the oldest of the Senate offices.
It's great to have you in, and this is a historic building. It was the original building that housed the entire Senate, and now we've spread out to three buildings, but it overlooks the United States Capitol. That's historic.
And he has quite a collection of stuffed game that he has shot, including a pretty big turkey that we were commenting on.
That would be a gobbler. It's probably a 4-inch beard. He's 3 years old.
Are they hanging on the walls?
Jake Hughes is going to be
I
one
believe
year.
That one was, yes.
Wow.
Well, that's a big damn turkey.
So why are we talking to Richard Burr this week? Why does he matter right now?
Well, Richard Burr is chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, is overseeing the investigation, and I think it's the premier investigation on Capitol Hill into the Russian interference in the election and any connection with the Trump campaign.
I want to talk about the inter-party dynamics of this a little bit. What it means for a Republican senator like Burr to lead an investigation like this, given who the president is and the way he's reacting to the whole subject.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Richard Burr was a Trump supporter, stuck with him after the infamous Access Hollywood tape.
And though I have, when appropriately, spoken up, maybe in opposition to something that was said by our nominee, make no mistake that that's not a lack of support for our nominee.
And was actually a national security advisor to him, although that may sound more glorious than it is.
So what would you tell someone who says, I'm not sure Burr can be neutral or independent here? He had too close a ties to Trump.
I was unabashedly for the president. I didn't hide that a bit. There's a difference between who I support and running my own campaign and the responsibility of being chairman of the Intelligence Committee that doesn't allow you to have partisan views that come inside the committee, because we deal with agencies that have no politics, hopefully, that involves their day-to-day operations.
Now, at the beginning of this process, there was questions how committed Richard Burr was. Burr, early in January, came out and said, you know, we're not going to get into this, any investigation between the Trump campaign and the Russians. That's not the purview of this committee. Mm. But the very next day,
the Senate Intelligence Committee announcing an investigation into possible contacts between Donald Trump's campaign and Russia.
Senator Burr and Mark Warner, Virginia Democrat, who's the senior Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, they put out a pretty full-throated statement saying, no, we're going to have a big, serious investigation.
Exactly right, Aaron. And it's a reversal of sorts for this committee. 24 hours ago, at least publicly, there were no plans for them to delve into this. The chairman at the time, Richard Burr, said he doesn't want to get involved in political firestorms. Well, he's in one now, and this committee investigation is a very big deal.
And you asked for what happened in those 24 hours.
So what happened in that 24 hours?
The understanding of the need for Congress to produce something for the public, that the intrusion by the Russians was so blatant and so comprehensive that without the American people understanding in great detail what happened, didn't assure us that we could take the measures that we needed to make sure that that didn't happen in the future.
I think the Democrats were saying to Mr. Burr, well, you know, if you don't get serious, we're not going to cooperate and you'll be on your own. And two, Senator Burr said, you know, he came to the conclusion that we needed to have a serious investigation and lay this out for the American people, and they can make their own judgments.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. I have been trying to understand changes in migration. So I traveled with photographer Federico Rios to the Darien Gap, this hot, mountainous, 70-mile stretch of jungle straddling the border of Colombia and Panama.
We're hiking through a river, just like covered in mud.
Many used to think that this route was impassable, but thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the Darien, almost all in the hopes of making it to the United States. We spent 9 days hiking through the gap and weeks building trust and relationships with migrants, with smugglers, with migration authorities to even be able to do this reporting. We interviewed hundreds of people who have made this journey to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths to find a new life. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
How does Burr talk about the hearings, the ones that everyone's been watching, that he's been holding?
Richard Burr would really prefer that the Intelligence Committee do everything in private.
Hmm.
He has said he thinks all of the Intelligence Committee business should be in private. But he's made a decision that he said, you know, given the importance here and the focus on the election, that he thinks that some of these hearings do need to be in public and held so people can watch and kind of gather their own information and have information to make judgments. You know, it's been sort of reluctant, but he is doing it, and there's going to be a public accounting of this at the end.
So during the hearing in June, right before the FBI director hearing, you know, the Democrats were complaining that a couple of the top intelligence officials weren't answering the questions directly.
It would not be appropriate for me, sir, to discuss issues that are potentially within the purview of the special counsel's investigation.
And that's the basis of your refusal to answer this question.
Yes, sir. And that, and knowing, of course, that Director Comey will be sitting behind
this table. So it's your position that the special counsel is entitled to ask you questions about this, but not an oversight committee of the United States Congress.
You it is my position. Sort of slapped them down a little bit at the end and said, you need to come here prepared.
You're in positions whereby you're required to keep this committee fully and currently informed of intelligence activities. At no time should you be in a position where you come to Congress without an answer.
I think that surprised some people that you were that tough at that moment. What was going on there?
Oversight is not partisan. And when an individual is in an intelligence agency in the form of leadership, they're obligated to Congress to answer the questions, to do it as fully and as they possibly can. If, in fact, it can't be done in open sessions, then we move to a closed session, and we did that in Director Comey's case, to make sure that all the questions got answered.
Now, on the Flynn investigation, is it not true that Mr. Flynn was and is a central figure in this entire investigation of the relationship between the Trump campaign and the Russians?
I can't answer that in an open setting, sir.
Certainly Mr. Flynn was part of the so-called Russian investigation. Can you answer that question?
I have to give you the same answer.
All right. We'll be having a closed session shortly, so we will follow up on that.
But here again, some of it is political grandstanding, and you have to expect that not every witness necessarily will give the answer that they want to hear, and in the absence of that, then one would claim that they haven't been 100% forthcoming.
And he talks to you, Carl, in a way I've never heard him talk before about what happened in this one hearing where he ended up getting a lot of flack for cutting off his Democratic colleague,
yes.
Senator Kamala Harris.
Of California, right, the newest member of the committee.
Are you willing or are you not willing to give him the authority to be fully independent of your ability statutorily and legally to fire him?
He has the
yes or no, sir.
He has the full independence that is authorized by those regulations.
Are you willing to do as has been done before?
Would the senator suspend? The chair is going to exercise its right to allow the witnesses to answer the question, and the committee is on notice to provide the witnesses the courtesy, which has not been extended all the way across, extend the courtesy for questions to get answered.
Yeah, and he did cut her off as she tried to question, and he said, one, she had exceeded her time.
But Let me say that she had already exceeded her time in the first hearing by a minute and 40 seconds, and in the second
not
hearing by
counting.
A minute and 57 seconds.
Two, that he said, you know, this isn't a criminal prosecution.
What I stopped her on was I stopped her to allow the witness to fully answer the question, which she was not allowing them to do.
He thought, I think, that she was not allowing that to happen, and he said that was his main motivation there. He seems to think he had done the right thing.
If you're in a courtroom, a lawyer, a prosecutor would cut witnesses off. We're not a criminal investigation. We're looking at the counterintelligence concerns that we have. The ability for a individual or for a nation state to do something that might in some way, shape, or form take the President of the United States or some elected official and compromise them in some way, shape, or form. That's why we're looking at Russian involvement to see if, in fact, anybody was compromised in a way that would influence the decisions that they make in their leadership capacity.
How is this committee different from all the other, this feels like a Seder question, but how is this committee different from all other investigations into Russia's ties to the election?
I mean, it's focused really strictly on the counterintelligence, right? What Russia did through its intelligence agencies and operatives to try and influence our election. So much more, you know, a little bit more of the cloak and dagger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the consensus is you have the premier investigation going on the Hill here. How are you doing with the other committees? I mean, is everybody keeping in their lane? You're feeling comfortable with that?
Well, I don't think we're interfering with anybody else, and we certainly try not to interfere with others. But there's no real coordination that goes on. The House is on their path, whatever that is. The Senate Judiciary Committee is on their path. The special counsel looks at criminality. So I assume that If we run into it, we'll refer it to the special counsel. By the same token, the special counsel is not supposed to be looking at counterintelligence. And I would hope that if they run across that, they will refer it to us. But
and you're not going into the business transactions. You know, that's the new concern, criticism of the special counsel. He's going too far afield, but that's not.
Again, if in fact we found intelligence that led us to believe that we needed to look at something, because there may be evidence of collusion or a compromise from a counterintelligence standpoint, I wouldn't hesitate once to ask for that business record. I have not seen anything that would suggest that we needed to do that.
So we all, you know, we're all in an age of instant gratification. Everybody wants the result right now, right? I think you feel some of that in this job. You know, people think this investigation should already be over. Is there any, can you provide any sense of how long it's going to take before you would issue a report?
Well, listen, I'm still hopeful that we can bring finality to this by the end of the year, but I also can't anticipate anything new that might come up that we don't know today that it would extend it by a month or 2 months.
To me, the most interesting and new thing that he said was that he intends to have this investigation done by the end of the year. And that was the first that we had heard of that schedule. So he's trying to wrap this up.
That strikes you as a faster timetable than you expected?
I mean, yeah, I think that people were unsure of what their timetable is. And he's very careful to say that it could take longer if more things come up.
At the end of the day, it will take as long as it takes, but we'll be judged based upon what we produce. And I don't expect this to, in any way, shape, or form, advance Richard Burr or the committee, because we will very quietly and quickly tuck back into the private meetings that we have historically had, that we don't talk to the press about any of the workings of the intelligence agency. And hopefully the pervasive leaks that have been the result of this whole Russian involvement will go away, and the intelligence community will be able to operate with some degree of secrecy and anonymity that they haven't experienced over the last 12 months.
So I want to stop you right there, because, I mean, you're saying that this is widely acknowledged to be the case. The president's still resisting that.
Well, let me just say this, that the president, I think, has every reason to still hold to the fact that he won an election. I wish the president would take that at face value and understand he got more electoral votes. He got sworn in as president. He is president. He won it. He earned it. I want to separate that from the threat that Russia presents us, because we've got to go through this process and we need to be punitive to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. Anybody that makes a claim that only for the Russians did Donald Trump win would be factually incorrect.
And basically, he said the president needs to get over that aspect, that, you know, this isn't a matter of the president won the election because of Russian interference or that the Russians stole electoral votes or anything like that. The president won, but he has to realize that the Russians took some really serious steps that need to be punished.
Just a couple of final things. I mean, we know each other. Your best friends have all left Congress. John Boehner, Saxby, Tom Latham, these were the guys, your rat pack that you used to run around with. Are you lonely now?
Well, they're still very, very close friends. I don't get to see them quite as often, and my habits in Washington have changed, but in large measure because I have a son, a daughter-in-law, and a 16-month-old that lives in Alexandria, so that is too close for not to attract more of my time out there. At the end of the day, what they've taught me is that there is life after Congress. And that influenced my decision not to run. But the major influence in that decision was my wife, who deserves, after 23 years now and how many elections that I wasn't going to win, that she had to go through, to have me home. And I look forward to that opportunity.
He was pretty certain in this interview and repeated a couple of times that he does not intend to seek re-election.
So does the fact that you said you're not going to run again, does that kind of ease this job for you, that you don't have to worry about?
Well, I'm not sure that it eases this job. I'm not sure that whether I was running or not running, I would necessarily pick this as an exercise I'd like to go through. It's the one I've been dealt. And it's the reason the committee exists. And not to do it, or to do it in a less than total way, would be to ignore the responsibility I've been given.
So thank you for taking the time. I look forward to being leaked a copy of your report.
My great wish is that I can do that before the end of this calendar year.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate
it. Great to be with you.
Carl, thank you, and have a great vacation.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
The New Washington is produced by Michael Simon Johnson and Michaela Bouchard. Brad Fisher is our engineer. Lisa Tobin is our executive producer. Samantha Hennig is our editorial director. Our theme music is by Jim Brunberg and Ben Lansford of Wonder Man. That's it for The New Washington. See you back here next week.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.